I want to welcome you all to our final call, and we have some absolutely wonderful guests. And the most amazing thing is they're the same guests that we started out the free call with, and it's like bookending this whole process, and they have so much information for us. I adore them both. I'm going to introduce them, and I am going to talk a little bit about them, and I'm also going to let them talk a little bit about themselves and just tell you that tonight, what we really want to give you tonight is our tips on how to be able to let go of things, what it is that you need to drop, and what we've learned from things ourselves that we need to let go of, drop, get rid of, release. And it sounds so, so simple. And when you get down to it, I know that that is not always true. So we're going to not only share our tips with you, but we're all going to get a chance to take you through our favorite process that has worked the best for us. So first guest, because I think last time I introduced Miriam first, I'm going to introduce Michelle first. Michelle Skuboyd. And she has got this wonderful site called Soul Self. And when I heard the word of it, I was like, oh, how wonderful is that? It's not only soul, but it's, are you feeling your soul? But then self is that material that is like pressed together, that's soft, and it holds things. It's really strong. So I loved that title of that. So welcome, Michelle, and I look so forward to connecting with you. And she does these wonderful seminars that I was privileged to be part of. And our next guest is Miriam Webster. And her website is MiriamWebster.com, and Michelle's is Soul Felt. Miriam Webster has got this very fun, renovated website that is about creating leadership in everyone, but she is very, very targeted to women. And they have both come through amazing things in their life and really made not only lemon, you know, lemonade out of lemons, but lemon meringue pie out of it, okay? So that's what we're going to get to connect with you on tonight. So, Michelle, I just would love to have you just talk about, you've just been through a very interesting series of calls yourself with people, and just, we always learn things every moment of every day, and I'd like you to share something you've recently learned, and then something that you've carried with you that's worked over the long run.
Mm. Well, Guru Raj, thank you very much for having me part of this telesummit. It's very, very honoring. I appreciate being here. When it comes to letting go, I think the biggest tip that I can offer is sometimes people get attached to the idea of letting go as in I'm letting go of the past. I'm letting go of material possessions. I'm letting go of a job. I'm letting go of what once was. And the biggest lesson that I learned very recently is that you can get attached to the future just as much as you can get attached to the past. And sometimes you have to let go of things that you think are supposed to be happening. Sometimes you have to let go of what you feel from an ego standpoint is supposed to be in your best interest. And you get in your own way when you do that. I was working with a client earlier this afternoon, and I was letting her know that it was about a letting go issue, and she kept dwelling on the idea of the past. And her spiritual guides came through very strongly and said, no, 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 this is like the old scenario of catching a monkey, where the monkey actually puts its paw inside of the trap and hangs on to the fruit, and because it's now holding the fruit, its fist is too big to get back through the hole, and it refuses to let go. This isn't about the fact that you're not willing to let go of material things or the past or the fact that you are going to be possibly foreclosing on your house. It's not about that. It's about you hanging on to wanting to control where you go next. And once she realized that she has to just literally go with the flow as though she was going down a very rapid, turbulent river, and she cannot control where it is that she goes next because the rapids are going so quickly, this is where self-trust comes in. And so that would be the thing that I personally have also taken away, and it's something that, thankfully, I have learned throughout my entire lifetime, is the importance of trusting in your higher self, trusting in your maker, and knowing with certainty that everything's going to be okay, even though you feel like you're completely out of control sometimes.
I love that. I totally love that. I had a very funny call this week. I'm renting out my guest house, and someone called, and instead of saying, you know, I'm interested in your guest house, call me back, she gave me this whole thing about, I've just gotten out of a very abusive relationship, and I've worked on my codependence, and I'm not codependent anymore. Just this whole long spiel that told me that she was. Everything she said that was not happening was still happening, and I was like, wow. This, you want to, and I thought it was so great because she was doing exactly what you were saying. She mm-hmm. wanted something, which was to move into this guest house, but what she was doing is telling me all of these things that made no sense in wanting to have someone who was in such denial in that position.
Mm.
So what is your tip for something that you learned in the past that has served you for a really long time?
The art of surrender. I was a perfectionist. I was a control freak growing up. And what I've learned into my adulthood from many, many times of frustration was that the very importance of being able to surrender. Surrender to the idea that everything is exactly as it should be in the here and the now, that everything is happening for your greatest and highest good, whether or not you label it as bad or label it as good. Either way, it's happening to assist you on your spiritual path. That's a hard thing to grasp sometimes for people, but it comes down to surrender and trust.
It really is. And what do you do to get back to that state when you feel like, oh, yeah, but this thing isn't, or just that this is yanking my chain and I'm just going to, you know, no, this can't possibly be right. Or...
Well, I've had the opportunity to work with some amazing, amazing people, yourself included, and I recently had a very, very deep and intimate conversation with Donna Eden, who specializes also in energy medicine, and she told me something that was just phenomenal, and it had to do with depression and self-doubt and distrust. And when you're in that state, it's because your energies are not running with the universe. They're not in flow. They're not in sync, which is literally why you feel so off track, is because you're not in flow. And so it's just self-awareness, to be aware that when you are feeling in the dark, it's because you have dimmed yourself from the light. And there are some very simple exercises that I'm sure you can talk about, Guru Tej, that will assist in being able to get you back into flow very quickly and very easily. And so I usually resort to using some type of an energy medicine method because it's so quick, it's so efficient, and it does pull you back on track almost immediately.
I love that, though. I love the fact that that's such a concise truth about you're not in the flow with the universe. So instead of like feeling bad about not being in the flow, which gets you even less in the flow, what is it that you can do to get back in the flow? Okay. And, you know, Michelle is totally right in that there's so many things you can do. And I will give you one tiny little thing that right now, and I'll give you a few things later too. This one is so simple. We've got hands. Everybody who has hands can do this, okay? You can do it sitting down. You can do it standing up. And all I want you to do is just take your hands and through your magnetic field, the energy all around your body, right? Everything has a magnetic field. We know about our cell phones and our TVs and our computers and that. Well, so you have one as well. And when your magnetic field gets very low or small, it means that you're not connected out. All of these receptors and projectors that we have, because your magnetic field has both receptors and projectors, get very small, and you're not a very good receiving station, nor a very good projective station. So if you take your hands and just shake them really powerfully, not wimpy, but really, really powerfully while you're breathing, both hands on each side, and just go all around that magnetic field. Go in the front of your body. Go in the back of your body. And just get extremely and fabulously wild. And just shake, 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 shake. And if you really want to make it happen even better, shake your whole body like you're just, you know, like you're vibrating, like you're stuck in a vibrator. And just let everything shake. It readjusts all the meridians of your body. And you get really, really, I can't talk to you or do it at the same time because it makes my voice get totally weird, but do it with me. Come on, I'm going to do this for just a couple of minutes, and I want you to feel what this can do for your whole body. Your wrists and your ankles work on rebalancing the hemispheres of your brain because all of these meridians go through it. Come on, shake, 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 shake. Shake hips and head and neck and breasts and, you know, feet and thighs and everything. Just shake it as powerfully as you can. Shake your arms, shake your whole body. And really, if you can do this for 2 minutes, I promise you, you will all of a sudden find a completely new energy because you, what do we say? Shake off that feeling. This is the exercise that can do that for you. Come on, 30 more seconds. Powerfully shake. Remember that old song, Shake, Rattle, and Roll? That is what you're going to do here, only you're going to get back on the roll because when you really do shake, rattle, and roll, it readjusts your brain. And this is something for those of you who have people that have been, you know, in war in these countries recently, it helps to adjust the brain. When you really shake everything around, the brain, when it gets dislodged, it really doesn't function properly. And inhale deeply. And exhale.
Very nice. Thank you.
Good. Well, thank you for making me remember that. I was like, it's been a long time since I did that. But when you said that, I was like, this is the one that's needed right now, you know? Because we have so much that's happening right now in the world that people feel torn, you know, in people's personal life, in the world, and it's like, oh, I need to be here, I need to help with this, I need to do this, or just so overwhelmed that you feel like you can't do any of it. And we forget that the place that we have to come from is ourselves, and your position of help may be meditating. Someone else's position may be to go to that place and physically be there. But to know what it is that you should do at any one time requires a quietness. And most quietness doesn't come from just going, okay, I'm going to be quiet. How about you, Maryam? What do you have to say to all this?
I would have to say that this perfectly dovetails into my work, which is, you know, the shaking. I was kind of hearing that old song, shake, 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 shake your booty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was getting into the spirit of it. So I love that. And the energy medicine thing, I want to just echo what Michelle said. Donna Eden stuff, right on, and she wrote the book quite literally called Energy Medicine, and another one that women here will love, Energy Medicine for Women. I think this should be on everybody's shelf.
Yes, I have it too. Yeah.
And the thing is, folks, is you just won't get sick anymore. That's the one thing I noticed immediately when I started doing all this stuff. Is I don't get sick. I don't get sick, and I'm able to do things like release weight that had been really, really tough for me up to now. So I had something I was going to share. Guru Tej has kindly said that I can share on beliefs, which are so tough to bust sometimes. And there is one of the magics that I practice is neurolinguistic programming. And there's a really cool process from that that I would like to share called the Museum of Old Beliefs. Would that be okay, Guru Tej?
Absolutely. Now, what she really wants to do is take you through this process. So it's going to be a little longer than the 2 minutes. But the thing that's really important with this is that you do these things that we're giving you right now, right here, right now. And if you're driving a car, pull over and do it. Because if you say, oh, I'll come back to that, chances are it's like old emails, you know. How often do you go back to them? So I'd like you to just take a really deep breath and give yourself this 7 to 10 minutes to do this with her.
Great. And this is going to be a good one for you guys to listen to again down the line. And what Guru Tej is saying about doing it now relates to something that's very, very important about learning strategies. And when we're trying to change beliefs and behaviors, one of the things that we're doing is we're learning new strategies. And we can best do that from a very well-resourced position. So, you know, which place are you most resourceful, standing up or lying down? Standing up. Are you most resourceful looking up or looking down? Looking up. We know this by brain studies that have been done on people doing various different tasks. So what I'm going to ask you to do next, this is something, by the way, you can do without any guide whatsoever, but listen to the tape a few times again after we do this and keep working on new things. So what you're going to do right now is choose a belief that's really not working for you. And I'm just going to go with one of mine that I worked on with this process, which was, I will always be fat. I think anybody who's ever been very, you know, hugely overweight, like I was, I weighed over 320 pounds. And you get that in your head because it's when it's been for so long, a condition, you know, be it fat or an illness or whatever it is. And then you just get this in your head that this is the way it's always going to be. Or you try a bunch of things, right? You try every diet on the shelf, every book, every package, pill, potion that you can get a hold of, and none of them work. And you go, I'm always going to be this way. So I think this is a good one to work on for all of us. Guru Tej, would you say that would be a kind of a good slot in there?
I think that would be great. And everybody pick your thing. That's what she's trying to say to you is it doesn't have to be the same as Miriam's. Pick your issue and be really fearless about it. What's the one that comes up and strangles you all the time?
So we're asking you also to do this in the now, in this moment, because what I was starting to explain before and stopped, getting it in the bones. So the way you feel as you go through a process, the way your body reacts, quite literally, is going to be a huge resource for you. It's like a treasure chest. You have no idea until you actually do this. But if you have the space to walk a few paces, then we have actually 6 steps we need you to walk. And if you're in a place where you're, like, maybe you're in a car, pulled over to the side of the road, please. If you're not, then please stop listening to this until you can pull over, because you will go a little bit out of body and a little bit in trance when you're thinking about some of this kind of thing. So anyway, get your current belief, and we're going to go with this one of, I'll always be fat. I'll never be able to change that. And just put that down on the floor. You can write that on a piece of paper, which is really good. Put the paper on the floor. Or you can just see it down there and stand on that space. And when we move geographically, we really do change our energy and change what's going on. So if you can, take a few steps with me. So we're going to step forward now into a space that is called open to doubt. Not yet. Just think about that for a second, being open to doubting that belief, that I'll always be fat, I'll never be able to change it, or whatever your belief is, can I at least be open to doubting that that may be, you know, not always true? So when you're ready to doubt, be open to doubt, just doubting, go ahead and step one step forward into that open to doubt space. And then I want you to take a side step. Just step, we're stepping forward in a line. I'm going to ask you to take a step off that line. Just step to the side and kind of look back to where you were. See that current belief back there? And see yourself stepping forward into being open to doubt. And just realize that you've come a space. And give yourself credit for that. Real important that we give ourselves credit even for incremental learning that we do. If you were able to take that step, then that's a step you couldn't take yesterday. So give yourself a pat on the back. Okay, now step back on that open to doubt. And we're going to go into this place called the Museum of Old Beliefs. The Museum of Old Beliefs can look like anything you want it to. It can be a super modern museum. It can be old and creaky and wooden. It can look and feel and be like any museum that you've ever been to or however you think it needs to look. So spend a moment just getting a sense of what that's like. So where would old beliefs live? What would it look like? So I'm just going to, again, plug my Museum of Old Beliefs in here, and you can feel free to, you know, change the details, but this is kind of an example. So my Museum of Old Beliefs looks rather like my university did back in the late 70s, early 80s. There was a lot of dark wood glass cases and the industrial tile on the floor. And these glass cases each have these sort of shriveled, dried up old beliefs in them. And they're locked with big, heavy iron locks. So there's an empty case, however your museum looks and feels, there's an empty case in front of you. And when you're ready, go ahead, and you have the key, by the way, to this case. So you can go ahead and unlock that case and open it. And take that old belief and just look at it again. And again, we're going to go back to our reference, our demo belief here. I'll always be fat. I'll never be able to change that. And by the way, that may have a way that it looks or a way that it smells or a way that it sounds to you. There may be some special descriptors that you have, the way that your brain uses to describe what this is like, this belief. And if it has a special shape or something or a color, honor that. And the more data you have, by the way, like if it has a shape or a color or if it's making a sound or whatever, that really helps you work with it. So that's not bogus. That's not BS. That's all data that your brain is giving you. These are little keys that are going to unlock the doors to releasing this thing. So go ahead and put it in the case when you're ready. I'm going to assume that that's now. Put it in there and give it a nice little pat. And by the way, these beliefs are here to help us. I know that sounds like, what? What are you talking about? They are here to help us. They have a positive intent. We may not know what that is, but each of these beliefs that just really mess us up so much have a positive reason they're here. So take a second, even if you don't really feel it yet, and thank that belief. Thank you for being here. I know you were trying to do something good for me. If we have more time, we might find out what that is. But in the interest of time, we're going to go on and just say thank you and close that case. Now take your key and lock that door. So lock the door of the case. And the belief is safely there. And you can go back and pick it up if you want to. It's always going to be here. Put the key in your pocket or on the shelf or whatever you want to do with that. Now let's open the door and step outside. And again, let's just step a little bit off of that line that we were stepping forward on. And take a minute to just review. We have that belief. We became open to doubt. We went into the museum of old beliefs, made the decision to leave it there. Okay? Now, nature abhors a vacuum, so we don't want to just leave that place the belief was living all empty, or you could pull in something that doesn't serve you again. So decide right now, here's a really cool place. You get to make a choice on what you'd rather believe, what you would rather have in your life. What uplifting resource do you want to put in that belief place? Well, again, going on my example, one of the several beliefs that I put in the place of I'll never lose weight is all of the techniques that I know work supremely easily and well for me. Losing weight is easy, and I even find it fun. So it was important to me to inject fun into it and ease. And also I put joy in there at another juncture. But ease, grace, joy, fun, these are all real, real important to have in my life. So you have things that are important for your life. Take a moment, decide what that belief is. And when you're ready, step into being open to believing that. Okay? So are you open to doing that? Let's assume the answer is yes, and let's go ahead and step on in to that place of the new belief. All the techniques I know work extremely well for me. I find them easy and fun to use. It gives me a great deal of joy to lose weight. Let me be honest. I love losing weight. It's awesome. I can reach my whatnot like you wouldn't believe. Never could before. The more you search for the joy in the process, the more the process will rise and support you. That's one tip I can pass on. So if you're not having fun, that's the first thing you've got to do is go, okay, what's going to be fun right now? So I'm standing in this new belief. Try that on. Feel how it feels. How does it feel to have this? And if it feels like, okay, this feels bogus, this is like such a load of BS, that's okay. That's okay because it's coming. It's like an energy package, and you've already set the wheels in motion, and it's coming down the pike to you. You may not get it this second, but you've already got it, if you know what I mean. We have one last step we're going to take, and that is to step forward in your time when you're ready into sacred space, into that space where all things are possible, where you are the infinite you, the infinite self that you really are, where all resources and all gifts and all that you will ever need is present. And in this place, there is a massive gift for you just for making the commitment to this change. You may be able to see it, hear it, smell it. Again, it's going to be unique and perfect and special for you. So reach out and just take the energetic essence of this gift and bring it into you and press it into your heart. This is a good place to keep gifts that you get like this. It's a good thing to have a place in your body that feels really yummy for that sort of thing. I like the heart. You can choose your own space. And just go ahead and press that in and put your hands over, one over on top of each other, on top of your heart, and give a nice breath in and out. And let that gift sink completely deep within you. And know that you can repeat this process whenever you want, and it will be hundreds and hundreds of times more potent each time that you do it. And the gifts will keep coming and coming and coming, and they will never leave you. And that's pretty much it, Guru Tej.
That was wonderful. Thank you. It reminded me of a very simple saying, is that we so often block the gifts of the infinite to us.
Mm.
And that we just don't say, I'm open to all of these gifts that you want to give me. And part of the reason that I think we do that is we don't feel deserving, but we also feel so busy inside of ourselves that there's no space. I do remember one time our teacher said, you know, you all say that you can't hear God, but the truth of it is you're so busy. God's talking to you all the time, the universe, the infinite, whatever you want to call it. But your lines are busy, and nothing can get through. So I think that just doing something like this, which slows us down, makes us aware, has us do something different with our bodies and our minds that break down the resistance to accepting the gifts that are awaiting us.
Mm. Exactly. And for those who are yogi enthusiasts, I recommend, because you're standing in a space with your hands over your heart at the end, and you can as easily turn that into Anjali Mudra. And I love to do a vinyasa flow at the end of that sequence. That's just me. But again, if you're into yoga, feel free to add that, because it incorporates it deep in the body.
This reminded me of Byron Katie, which I'm just going to go over just the four things that she came up with. Just out of the blue, she was in her trailer, completely depressed, down, you know, at the end of her rope, supposedly, and this came to her, what she calls the work. And where she was, I can tell you, it's really a very desolate and depressed area of California. For those of you who don't think there is such a place in California, there is. And these are the four questions to ask yourself. Is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? Absolutely know that it's true. How do you react? What happens when you believe that thought? In other words, how do you feel when you think that thought? And number four is, who would you be without that thought?
Mm-hmm.
And to realize how powerful thoughts are. So I'm going to go back to Michelle, and I'm going to say, Michelle, what's one thought that you had in the past besides your controlling? Or maybe that wasn't, you know, the thought, but the thought behind the controlling that you realized was making you feel like you were carrying around the weight of the world. And what did you do with that thought?
This is an excellent question, and I actually used this exact thought during the process that Marianne so wonderfully walked us through.
Yes, thank you, Mary.
Because I wanted to feel the transformation, and I think it's a good place to fully know and remember that we are in a place of the infinite, and we are one. And for me, it was being raised strict Roman Catholic, and actually having to recite the following words again and again and again: "I am not worthy to receive you. I am not worthy to receive you." And it was instilled and conditioned in me that I was not worthy. And it's an old, old thought and an old belief. And one day, I started asking myself, my higher self, my source in conversation, if God is all things and God is love, then that means that I am God and I am love, which means I am worthy to receive you. And I felt so good. And it was a feeling of joy and freedom and exaltation. I mean, it was so wonderful. And whenever I start to feel like I'm not worthy, it's that old conditioning. And as soon as I become aware of it, I'm able to remind myself that I am one. I am one with Source. I am worthy.
I so love that, because I think that that's one of the biggest things in shifting the whole weight, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, financial, you know, weight, is exactly what you're talking about. And there's a mantra that I have in my, you know, ebook and my program, and it's so similar to what you're talking about. It's sitting in front of a mirror and looking at yourself and reciting, I like myself. I love myself. And I see my soul. And doing this for 22 minutes. Because these mantras that we are given, whether it's the Catholic Church or a parent or a teacher or whatever it is, are so powerful. And like herbs in nature, you know, where you have a poisonous herb, within a 3-foot radius of that is the antidote to it.
Mm.
So the things that we're talking about right now are just the antidotes to what was not meant to be poison, but was poison. And that's such a simple sounding thing. But when you think about it, I like myself. Oh my God, there's times where we don't like ourselves. I love myself? Really? And I see my soul? Sometimes you may see two of those. You go, yeah, I do. No. And sometimes you may have feel like all of them, you're in that. And other times, you know, I've had people do this and they can't even do it for 3 minutes when they start out. And then they get into it and they really like fall in love and find out that this just clears so much. Because the eyes of your soul are looking into the eyes of your soul in that mirror. And you're talking.
I love that. I love that.
Yes.
You know, in what you're saying, Guru Tej, goes along with that second saying in the religious statement, which is, but only say the word and I shall be healed. And the word is self-talk. And the word is affirmation, and the word is what you feel and believe about yourself.
Yes. That word that we, you know, we talk about the power of the word, and isn't that where the Bible starts out? And every spiritual scripture has that in it. And yet we think sometimes that it's only the words that we say out loud. We don't think that the words that we say to ourselves are in private count, and they so do. And if you really want to shift how you think about yourself and how you speak to yourself, then doing something that, as Miriam gave us that process, that takes you out of how you move, that takes you out of a pattern. We're talking about in this whole thing of shifting patterns. And you can't lose weight doing the same thing. You do the same thing that you're doing, you're going to keep everything exactly the way it is. So the willingness to go, I'm done. I'm ready. And sometimes people go to me, how do people land up in yoga? I'm like, sometimes through the back door, you know, a lot of times through the back door. They get driven to yoga because they're hoping that it will give them some relief. So these are the techniques to give you that relief, but in the process, they may make you extremely uncomfortable. And if you run away from that discomfort, you're never going to experience that deep relief that comes with feeling very connected, at which point
Absolutely.
You lose all weight.
Yes, you have to move through it. So very important.
I wanted
yes.
to chime in, this is Marianne, and say that what we've been talking about a lot, I just want to bring this back, is about our feeling in the body. And so often when we're overweight, we've conditioned ourselves out of feeling. except through certain approved channels. And in my personal journey, it's been, you know, the approved channel was through food and through not doing anything that gave me any pain, which was, you know, since I was rehabbing from a broken back, I had pain enough to begin with. What do you want me to jog? Are you nuts? Was kind of my reaction. Mm-hmm. And various clients I've worked with have had, you know, other approved outlets. But the one thing that you can never get away from and the one major resource that you have in this that most of us are not utilizing is the body. And what Michelle and Gurutej and I are telling you to do is to constantly come back to your body. Your body is one of your bestest resources ever. And if you can feel these things in your body and get an idea of what we call the felt sense of a belief changing, the felt sense of, oh, my God, I'm down another 5 pounds. I can reach all the way under my thigh and touch the top of my thigh. Oh, my God. And that's, boy, that's a high like no drug you can ever ingest. So once you can feel that and you get a sense of that, that becomes a huge resource for you. You know if you're going off tracks because you know that that felt sense is skewed. It's wrong. It doesn't quite feel right. Oh, okay, I need to shift this. I need to tweak that. And then your body becomes your instructor. And it's better than anybody else at telling you exactly what to do next. So that's what I get off on, is just knowing that, you know, I don't need the big book, the big guidebook of exactly how to do this weight loss thing. All I need to do is tune into my own body and ask those questions that I need to ask. Put my hand on my heart and listen.
And I think it takes a while to get to that place where you feel very supported internally and externally, and you wake up your intuition. So I want everybody to give themselves the permission to be where they are and accept all the support that you need to get yourself to that place Marianne's talking about, because she's totally right. But on the process along the way, we're really here to support. And each one of these women has some really amazing tools. I want to do one thing that just works with that, and this one is called Hula. Hula is an old Sufi mantra, and it's for opening the heart. But what you do with this is you're going to make claws out of your hands, and this is extremely good for when you need to clear things out of your magnetic field. But it's also really, really good for when you're feeling stressed out and you feel like you want to hurt someone, okay? You know, claw them to death. It's like we turn into, you know, cats or bears or whatever, and it's like, okay? So you're going to make claws out of your hands, and the who, you're going to suck it in like you're sucking the whole universe in, and just, and then, okay, but as you do who, you're going to take your hands up over your head, and you're going to come up on your toes, so you're going to do, open your eyes super, super wide, and then you're going to do la, and you're going to squat down, close your eyes, and let your hands swing down towards the floor. So who, tight, tight hands, are going to come up over the top of your head, your heart center is open right in the center of your palms, and you're going to do, open those eyes super, super wide, activate your pituitary, which is that internal guidance system, and close them and do your song. Do it with me. Come up on your toes. Activate all those glands in your head. Open your eyes as you come up, close them as you come down. Two more times. And squeeze your inner thighs, stay up on your toes, stay. And exhale, and again, bring your hands over your heart, the left under, which is your receptive, and your right over. The feminine held by the masculine and the projective. And inhale deeply. Exhale. The beauty of this is that, tell me how you feel.
Rejuvenated.
Very bubbly.
Bubbly, I like it. Yes, because it really does so many things simultaneously. But what we were talking about before is that, you know, our minds go off on us. And what this does is it gets all the glands in your head juiced so that you really get to feel your vastness again. And some people go, oh, I get so heady and a little stoned. Yes, because we don't breathe that well, usually. But if you actually really squeeze up on the rectum when you come up, we only did that for like a minute. But if you do it for longer than that, you might feel just a little bit like, you know, like, hi, okay. And that's good. What we were talking about is the joy factor, right? So, Michelle, what is the thing that gives you the most joy that you can see that you've shifted and you go, God, I'm so grateful that that has shifted?
Well, I think it's really understanding and knowing that you are a co-creator in the universe. And I always like to, when I'm in my workshops and things, I like to be able to appeal to people's left brain so that they understand a little bit about logic and statistics, so then they can fully feel comfortable diving in and exploring their higher self. And there was a study that was published in Psychology and Health, and it was pretty recent. And I took a bunch of college students who were setting a goal to get healthier. And they wanted to consume more fruit instead of, you know, kind of binge on junk food. And it was over a period of 7 days. And what the study found was that students who made a plan by writing it out, and here's the key, and visualizing how they were going to carry out the goal, they consumed twice as much fruit than those who merely just set the goal. So the research is showing that when you make a concrete plan and you assist it with your creativity, your visualization, and your intention, the results are twofold. And that goes so much with, along with when you think something and you're in your head, which we're talking about so much tonight, and you're feeling like all your circuits are busy. When you actually bring it down to the level of your heart, and as Miriam was saying, you listen to your body and you become heart-centered and you begin to co-create by intending and visualizing and seeing yourself in the present moment, whatever that may be. See, when you're in that heart-centered place, when you're pulling in all of your senses, your brain does not know the difference between reality and fantasy. And so you can imagine and create yourself to be whatever it is that you wish to be. And this goes back to my earlier point. When you get to this place of creation, and this is what I've learned to answer your question, Guru Tej, is when you get to this place of creation, when you're visualizing in the present moment, you're feeling it with all your heart. You're actually bringing your emotions in and you're feeling centered and you're seeing yourself skinnier, you're seeing yourself deserving or worthy or whatever, wherever you are. The key is then to release it, to not be attached, to fully trust that it's going to be in your best interest, that everything that happens from this point forward is going to be for your greatest and highest good.
Yes. Don't you sometimes just want to go, yes, 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 yes? I mean, it's such a powerful word. What if we just all chanted yes? there's this one exercise that we do in Kundalini Yoga, and you just do spine flexes, and you bring your thumbs up to your shoulders, and you just do, yes, I am. Yes, I can. Yes, I am. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like people are like, yes, yes, I am. Yes, I can. But it's that yes. It's saying yes to the universe.
Hmm.
And yes to ourselves as that.
Absolutely.
Guru Tej, yes is
yes.
One of the Q words in ethos. We say yes, 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 yes to start off our three Qs.
Okay, there you go.
So that's something I fully agree with. Yeah.
It is. It's yes. You know, it's so interesting because oftentimes women need to learn how to say no. And people say you have to say no. And I will tell them, what is even better to say is to say, thank you so much for thinking of me. I'd like to give somebody else a chance to do this. You know, or thank you so much, but this just isn't my time. Or thank you, so you don't have to go, no, I can't do this now. No, you know, I'm overwhelmed, which is means that you're blocking everything, right? So, Miriam, I want to ask you the same question. So you give your thing.
Say the question over again, please.
The question is just the fact that in our lives, we've gone through many variations of the things that have haunted us and have come up and clutched us. When you look back, what is one of those things that you're most grateful for? Or letting go of? And how did you do that?
Well, here's a big one. When I was, for people who don't know me, the brief is that I broke my back. I was paralyzed for about 9 years. It took me to get my mobility back. And I got very used to having things done for me. A lot of people that I see having the biggest struggle are having a struggle with themselves on feeling entitled. I should have this. I should have that. It's my right. It's my due. But they don't. And this is the same kind of struggle that I was dealing with. And letting go of the feeling that I have rights.
That I have a right to. Great. I love that. You know, they actually have found that so many young kids now that are starting in the workforce, that they've been brought up to, you know, good going. That's the way to go. Nothing is not a really good thing to say to your kids, but to such an extent that they feel such a sense of entitlement that they actually, before this whole fallout of things, they actually had hired people called pleasers, and they would go around and say to these kids, good job. You're doing really a good job, good going, you know, and you're just like, okay, so thank you. Yes, we're all entitled.
How I got over that, by the way, I didn't say that piece. How I got over it is just really having it rise up and slap me in the face when I started considering how many things I didn't have that I really wanted to have. The situation, I was with my first husband, it was a miserable marriage. I had, you know, my back was messed up, I was overweight, and it, you know, the list scrolled forever, right? And it was facing myself with that list and in the mirror and doing a lot of, I was doing energy therapy on myself. And realizing that if I let go, if I pull, what's the one linchpin that if I pull that out, the rest of this list, this whole long stack of things collapses? So there's a good tool.
What was your linchpin?
Well, that was the feeling of entitlement, that I have rights, that I have the right to this, that, and the other, which was not that we don't have a, you know, metaphorically speaking, have the right to be happy, et cetera, but allowing that to completely stymie and stifle any other energies from coming into my life, any other possibilities from coming into my life, What it did was stifle possibility.
That's so great.
So we can look for that in our own lives. You know, whatever your problem is and whatever you're going through out there, what is the one thing that if you pull the block out, it's like Jenga, you know, if you pull the block out and then the whole stack collapses, or that card in the house of cards, if you pull that one card out, the whole thing collapses. So what is that thing for you? So if you gave up, if you gave that one thing up, everything would change.
That's fabulous. And the truth of it is that happiness is not dependent on anything. You know, I've been to so many places and met so many people, and I've found that there's no correlation between what you have on a physical plane and your happiness. None. Trust me, I've taught some of the wealthiest people in the world, and I've also had people in classes who have had to, you know, help me with things to be able to come to class. And I've met people all over the world, and the most joyous people are the people who, whether they have a lot or they don't have a lot, know that none of this is necessary for their happiness. But what is necessary for their happiness is to be very joyously, creatively connected to the vastness of this moment. And I thank both of you so much for being on this call and sharing this. And I'd like you each to share one parting comment. And then I just want to say, gratitude abounds to the channel that each of you are in the process of uplifting and being part of that sacred ring, that mala, those prayer beads of the intention that everything we learn, we want to share, to uplift and create and feed the vastness of the soul of this universe. So, Michelle, what would you like to leave indelibly impressed in the hearts, minds, and souls of all of those who will be listening to this?
Well, I think for me, the biggest message, the biggest assistance that I can offer is I know that there's going to be some people that are listening on the call who are going to be in a place where they would like to know how to trust themselves more. They'd like to know how to be able to listen to their inner voice. They'd like some assistance when it comes to believing in themselves and to know fully that it's their inner truth without actually having to get caught up or spinning in doubt. And so, Guru Tej, for your listeners, I've actually put together a very nice special that I'd like to talk about, if you don't mind.
Please do. That's what this is for.
It's a 60% off special, and what it is it's 4 hours of wonderful, wonderful material that goes into things like learning to trust yourself completely, stopping self-sabotage, which we didn't even talk about, being able to have the self-confidence, feeling worthy again. And it also has some wonderful things for people that are interested in understanding their soul purpose. It talks about things like your Akashic records, which is your soul records, and how to actually open them and what it means when you do, and how you know for certain that you're grounded versus when you're ungrounded, and how to discover whether or not you are fully in body, as Miriam talked about, because if you're not fully in body, it's going to be difficult to pay attention to what your body's messages are. And the finale of it is that you can also learn to feel the energy around you, or some people can see the energy, and there's many tips and techniques on how to clear and balance the chakras and how to actually understand and get validation from the other side, so that you know that you're connecting fully and completely either with your higher self or your angels or your guardians or your guides. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful starter kit for those people that are really wanting to understand who they are at the deepest level. And so for a limited time, there's 60% off for your listeners, and they can find that by going to Soul Felt Series. That's S-O-U-L, the word felt, F-E-L-T, the word series, series.com/GuruTej. So G-U-R-U-T-E-J. So I would leave you with that offer, because I think if you are in a place where you are unsure, it's going to be very difficult for you to keep walking your path with certainty. And I think that's what this is all about.
Thank you, Michelle. And it really is important to feel supported in this process, and not feel that you're alone and that you have to do this all by yourself. So that's why I invited all these women on here, is to give you all these resources of their wisdom and their knowledge, as well as everything I know. So thank you, bless you, Michelle. And Miriam, it's your chance. Satnam, have we lost you?
Oh, no.
I'm here.
Oh, yay.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to thank you so much, Gurutej, for the opportunity to be here and to share some of what I've learned with the folks here. It's just an incredible, incredible honor to help out in that fashion. And for folks that are here that you're still, maybe you're dealing with some very specific belief-oriented stuff, which is a lot of what I do, I'm going to be offering my own class in what I've learned in losing over 100 pounds so far later in the summer. If you're that class is called Lighter Faster. If you're interested in that, or if you're interested in hooking up with me, you can go to my website, merriam-webster.com. That's M-A-R-Y-A-M, as in Michael, W-E-B-S-T-E-R.com. And on the front page, there's a sign up for my newsletter. I don't have the page for this class out yet because we're still trying to coordinate times with several people, but it will be later in the summer, probably August. If you're interested, sign up for the newsletter. You'll get a lot of cool stuff from me on energy modifications and a number of resources on weight loss. One thing I want to leave everybody with is there is not one single thing that you cannot do, be, or have in this life. I believe that we are living in heaven on earth, and that we can create that for ourselves, or we can create the opposite. And it is a choice that we are all given every day. When you wake up in the morning, you have that choice. So ask yourself the most potent, powerful questions you can every day to make sure the choices that you're making are uniquely supportive for you and your entire environment, everyone around you as well. We are all in this together, and as Gurutej said, this is all about supporting you. Just realize that you're surrounded with that support and that you can make a choice in every single second to have better than you do. That's all I got.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love you guys. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
Likewise. Gurutej, do we have you? We may not.
Miriam, thank you. It's been a joy.
Thank you, Michelle, again.
Well, I'm thinking good night.
We may not have to, Tish, so let's wind up the call anyway. And thank you, everybody, for coming.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Satnam.